feisty, fearless, and fair. She's an Emmy-winning journalist from the White House to war zones, telling all sides of the story. This is The Rita Cosby Show.
Lovely Rita, meet a maid. Nothing can come between us. When it gets dark, I tow your heart away. Standing by a parking meter.
And tonight on The Rita Cosby Show, a case in the Bronx that epitomizes everything that is going wrong in terms of the revolving doors of criminal justice and what's going on with a wide open southern border. First off, this is amazing. There was a group of about eight different migrants. One of them had an attempted murder charge in his background. All of them basically had a series of different crimes in their history, and neighbors were saying that they were squatting, again, taking over a house like that crazy guy in the video, that crazy YouTuber guy. Well, in this case, there were about eight of them that were staying in the basement of somebody's apartment in the Bronx. The landlord was trying to get rid of them. They weren't leaving. They weren't paying any rent. They weren't doing anything. And he couldn't get rid of them. And then neighbors were complaining that there was somebody who was getting his head bashed in by a pipe. And then another neighbor said they would hear shots fired in the area. They'd hear people screaming. They were hearing all of these different questionable activities. And they also believed that maybe drugs and a whole bunch more was going on. And so they go, the authorities, finally, after recall after call after call, apparently the police were called for eight times in just the last 3 weeks on this group of guys that were hanging out at this house. So they show up, the guy gives chase, and he leads them to the basement apartment where all of these people are staying. Now, what else was found with them, get this, was a whole bunch of guns, a whole bunch of ammo, drugs, ketamine. There was a seven-year-old child that was there in the same apartment, which is also troubling. And across the street was an elementary school. This is insane. And yet nothing happened. They arrested the people, and six of the eight got out immediately. No problems. Even though they had criminal history and they had drugs and guns and all these other things, think about the progressive policies that are out there today, you guys. You think about all of these issues that are happening with crime and these people that they seem to just give a pass to when they have a migrant history. I mean, one of the guys had an attempted murder in his background and he gets let out. Are you kidding me? They're in the country illegally. They're squatting. They're not paying rent. They're not doing anything. They're disrupting the community. One of them's beating somebody over the head with a pipe. They got a child in the background. And then across the school, there's an elementary school right there across the street. It almost doesn't get worse. So what can be done? And why are migrants seeming to get a pass when it comes to crime? Why are these people suddenly, when they find out that they got drugs like ketamine and cocaine and they're hanging out in the basement, oh yeah, slap on the wrist. I mean, that is an unbelievable testament to me. When I heard this, I thought, oh my goodness, it is all the things that concern us about what's going on. We've heard these stories about the male migrants that are staying in locations where right across the street were schools. In this case, people with criminal history and some pretty violent criminal history were staying at this location. And so today, after it became a big story, it became the cover of the New York Post. And after it became a front page story, and the police said they were fed up because remember, it's Sanctuary City, so they can't say anything. Surprise, surprise. And so ICE finally sees the cover, I guess, of the New York Post and sees, well, maybe we have a right to go in here if they are here illegally. The police can't tell ICE. They can't notify the feds because of the, quote, sanctuary city policies. But if the feds find it on their own, then they can do it. Well, guess what? If it's right there on the cover of the New York Post, it's pretty easy for ICE and the feds to be able to decipher it. So they showed up at the house and they finally did a few more busts. Thank goodness. But doesn't this just epitomize the problems that are happening when you have a wide open border, you have this crazy squatter law in New York, and you got soft on crime prosecutors who seem to be giving a pass after pass after pass? I'm sorry, but I am fed up. When I hear these things and I hear the fact that every time there seems to be some shooting, they go after gun control, and yet you have six illegal migrants with criminal histories hanging out, squatting in somebody's house in the Bronx, and you don't really do anything? I'm sorry. There are priorities that are completely out of whack. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. And you are listening to The Rita Cosby Show. Here is a report that took place. This is Fox News. They're on live. And finally, the feds are able to move in and do some busts. Take a listen. This is the live report in action.
Brian, just saw some arrests at the house where these migrants were squatting, and you've been reporting from all day. Tell us.
Yeah, John, we actually have an arrest happening right now. This is ICE removal officers who are removing one of the migrant squatters who is inside of that apartment. This is now one of the third arrests we've seen in the last 15 minutes here. All of a sudden, a bunch of unmarked vehicles that you see showed up to the residence here in the Bronx, and they went back to the basement apartment in the back of that Bronx home, and they started arresting folks. This is something that we've been seeing, like I said, in just the last 15 minutes. All of them are the police officers are wearing federal agent paraphernalia, and we saw somebody with a DHS logo and an ERO jacket, which means there he goes into the back of the vehicle. These are unmarked vehicles that are outside of this home here in the Bronx. Now, this is obviously all going back to what had happened just last week when the NYPD says they were called to this residence out here with a man with a loaded gun. And when they showed up, a guy ran to the back of a home and they found seven other migrant squatters.
Seven other migrant squatters and a whole bunch of guns, a whole bunch of ammo, a seven-year-old child, and they're only located across from an elementary school. There are so many problems with this, and the fact that they were let out over and over and over again by soft-on-crime DAs and soft-on-crime judges is a disgrace to America, a disgrace. So anytime I hear the Democrats say, oh, gun control, we're going to really crack down on guns, not if you're a migrant. If you're a migrant, no big deal. And if you have an attempted murder in your background, no big deal. This is disgusting. And so today, it was such a big case. Here is Peter Ducey, the Fox White House correspondent, asking Corinne Jean-Pierre, of course, the press secretary at the White House, about this case. And listen to her hogwash. That's the nicest thing I could say.
Why isn't federal immigration law tougher on border crossers who come here and are accused of serious crimes?
So, are you speaking of a specific case?
There's this story in New York, an eight-person crew of border crossers found with drugs and guns. Six of them now are out on bail. Does President Biden think policies like that are making the country safer?
So, I want to be really careful. That's an active case, so don't want to comment on an active case. But anyone found guilty, and we've been very clear about that, anyone found guilty of a crime should be held accountable. We have been very, very clear about that. And if a person poses a danger to a community, they should be detained pretrial.
Right. And that is definitely not happening. And in fact, we just found out also, we'll talk about this later on in the show, Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, says he discovered there was a secret program that was shipping anywhere from 300 to 350,000 migrants being secretly shipped into Florida and Texas, and they just somehow didn't alert the governor about it. So he's not happy about that. He's investigating that one. And so Peter Ducey followed up after he talked about the migrants there, and said, we got it. Let's talk about these soft on crime DAs, even if somebody gets arrested, because the police, believe me, would love to arrest these people and throw them in the slammer. And even if they get arrested, guess what? They get let out almost immediately. And it's because of soft on crime DAs and soft on crime judges. And he asked her about that. Listen to this circle back answer.
Do you guys think that some big cities in this country have liberal DAs that are too soft on crime?
Look, what I will say is I'm not going to speak to every state or city here. It's not for me to speak to. We have been very clear about this. Anyone who commits a crime and is found guilty needs to be held accountable. That's what this president believes.
Is there anybody out there that believes that? That this president thinks anybody who commits a crime should be held responsible? What about everybody who was burning down the buildings during the, quote, summer of love? And remember, they were actually sponsoring and bailing out some of the people that were rioting and protesting and burning down buildings and beating up cops. So, you know what? It really depends on who is committing the crime. And that is a sad testament. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Al, line three. Al, your thoughts.
Oh, hi, Rita. Rita, yeah, I just wanted to say with the squatters problem, it's a real problem throughout the nation, and it's really getting the attention in the tri-state and in New York. And I remember in 2008, it really started to be a problem and come to a head, I'd say, in states like Arizona and Nevada. Arizona, during the financial downturn in 2008, was badly hurt. A lot of the housing developments that builders were building out there, they all went bankrupt. So a lot of these squatters who were on drugs, they all started to go to these places and live. And I'd say that's where it really started to become a problem up until now.
Yeah, you're right. I remember when all that was happening and exactly what you're talking about with Arizona. And it seems like because New York is so soft and because they sort of know the system. I mean, you know what I think about, Al? It's become now business. Like, I hadn't really heard about squatting up until like we're talking about it until the last few weeks and until this boom with the migrant crisis, because they're actually, it's sort of this underground network where you see them putting out on social media and telling their buddies, hey, find a house, or here's the way it works in New York, because it varies from state to state. And remember, DeSantis just came out the other day, I say bravo to him, saying squatting is not going to be allowed in Florida. We're going to have rules and regulations. Whereas in New York, it's so lenient that they give the perpetrator so much latitude, and the poor homeowner has no rights. And then there's been these horrible cases, Al, the one of late where, remember, the woman came home and their two squatters were in the house that was owned by her mother. And remember, she was in Spain and she comes back to see her mother's place, and these two guys kill her because she comes in into the apartment that they've been hanging out in illegally for many, 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 many months. It's a frightening situation, and law enforcement needs to have courage, Al. They need to do something, because that is completely unfair. And if somebody, and if these people are suddenly taking over somebody's apartment, not paying the rent, you got 8 illegals and you got a whole bunch of them with crimes, violent crimes. You're right by a school. I mean, that's a frightening situation, Al. Isn't that like sort of like a worst case scenario?
It really is. And when you see what happened out in Douglaston with a woman who inherited $1 million home, and she comes in and some guy, you know, she has to pick up the bills for these people. And hopefully New York does what Governor DeSantis did, take his lead and to do something. You can't continue like this.
By the way, Al, I'm not sure if they will. And I wish that that was the case, but I'm not sure if they will. Because they're even fighting over right now. Carl Hastie, who's the New York Assembly Speaker, doesn't think that longer sentences have anything to do with deterring crime. So, I mean, to me, they have sold out, I think, the people of New York to placate their far left policies. And I think this part goes part and parcel with it, sadly. But boy, I hope everybody stays safe in the meantime, because it seems like the squatters have more rights than the owners. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. We'll continue with your calls when we come back here on The Rita Cosby Show.
The Rita Cosby Show.
Hi, it's Ernie Anastas. You know, your thoughts can affect how you feel, and how you feel can impact your thoughts. Addressing your mind and body connection is the key to improving your overall wellness. Bergen Newbridge Medical Center is the largest hospital in New Jersey, providing comprehensive, equitable, compassionate, and high-quality emergency inpatient and outpatient medical care, plus mental health services and substance use disorder treatment. The Bergen Newbridge team can address your total health needs in one convenient location. Call 201-225-7130. For an appointment or newbridgehealth.org.
It's the Rita Cosby Show.
Well, many of the squatters are partying all the time, and they're doing it at somebody else's expense because they are in somebody else's home, like the case of these people in the Bronx with drugs and guns, a 7-year-old child, and an elementary school across the street. It is downright frightening. Here is what retired NYPD officer Paul Morrow had to say of where he thinks the blame lies with these soft on crime policies, especially extending to migrant squatters.
We've hit a point where I think we have to start put faces and names to the culprits. Mm-hmm. This one's on the governor, Hochul, and on the mayor. The mayor could push this through the city council. Now, in the city, it's a law. It's not an executive order. But he has the bully pulpit. And Mayor Adams should be going to the city council and saying, I am in favor of rescinding this. Let's go. Let's revise that law so the city can talk to ICE. On the state level, Hochul can just do it with an executive order. Mm-hmm. Cuomo did it with an executive order. Hochul can undo that. So the two culprits here, in my opinion, you got the governor and Adams should be pushing the legislature. And, of course, the legislature has to act afterwards.
But then you got this crazy Carl Hasty who is saying, no, I don't really think that more time in prison or that kind of punishment is a deterrent whatsoever. Let's just let them roam wild. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Jacqueline. Jacqueline, your thoughts.
Hi, Rita. You know, we keep talking the same talk and singing the same song over and over again. These individuals that hold political office right now are never going to do anything different from what they've been doing. People need to start paying attention when they go to the voting booth. Instead of voting party line straight down, they need to look at these judges and who these judges are and who these DAs are. Most of them run unopposed.
That's a great point. You're right, because they're on the list. Or people just kind of go, okay, I'll pick that name. You know what? A lot of these people advertise exactly who they are, Jacqueline. You are correct. We need to know.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Rita Cosby is on. The Rita Cosby Show presents Back to Blue.
And this Back of the Blue segment is sponsored by GoyaCares.com because you are a precious gift from God. And this is a powerful story coming from Mount Clemens, Michigan, where Macomb County Sheriff Anthony Wickersham called the efforts of three of his deputies heroic after they rescued two people and a dog from a burning home. The deputies responded to a fire call at approximately 1 a.m. One of the officers who was first on the scene said he could see flames through the closed front door window. And upon entering the home, he saw one individual and instructed her to leave immediately. He then saw a male seated in a chair, but it was engulfed in flames. He attempted to smother the fire with a blanket, but he was unsuccessful. Then the other two officers came with fire extinguishers, and they tried to put out. But at this point, the home was filled with heavy black smoke that made it very difficult to breathe. One of them started, then another one started, and then finally another one came back and was there and was able to put out the flames. Both residents were immediately taken to area hospitals for treatment. The male is currently in stable condition. The female was immediately released, but both are said to be okay and will survive and are thankful to be alive to the heroism and great efforts of these three officers. The local sheriff there said, quote, "I sincerely commend the valiant efforts of these deputies in this life-threatening situation. They acted swiftly and selflessly, preventing an even greater tragedy from occurring." And boy, their fast action and getting right into the flames certainly saved many, many lives that day. Well, we are talking about the migrant crisis that is exploding. And not only is it exploding, it's also coming with a lot of crime. And this case in the Bronx is getting tons of headlines as we're finding out that six of these squatters who are there at this house, a house filled with like a scene out of Scarface, right, with cocaine and ketamine and drugs and other drugs and guns and everything else. But they were able to get out on bail. How could this be? Well, it's easy to see. All you have to do is look at the New York State Legislature. And the Speaker of the Assembly is a guy named Carl Hastie, who today doubled down. He was asked a couple days ago, so what do you suggest? Kathy Hochul apparently came to him, the governor of New York, and said, hey, let's try to make punishment a little more severe, especially for those who are attacking people who work in stores, retailers. You think it's like, of course, let's try to do whatever we can to protect retailers. And guess what happens? Well, Carl Hastie, the speaker, came back and said, no, I don't believe that longer sentences deters crime. Are you kidding me? Longer sentences absolutely deters crime. I guess he thinks there's no other solution. Let's just give up because he hasn't come up with an alternative. And so today, reporters were asking him, or yesterday, I think it was, reporters were asking him, you know, did you really mean this? Did you honestly really mean that sentences aren't a deterrent to crime? Keeping people locked up isn't a deterrent to crime? Like they were just, you know, baffled. And he goes, oh, yeah, I absolutely do. I don't think that they should duke time. I think that longer prison sentences, extending it, doesn't have an impact on deterrence. This guy, well, earlier today, we were talking to Michael Goodwin, who said either he's clueless or an imbecile or just trying to destroy the state of New York. I mean, how could that be? This is the Assembly Speaker. Shame on him. What is he cowtailing to all of the progressives in his party? That looks like that's the case. And here is Michael Goodwin again, Pulitzer Prize winning columnist. And he was on with me and John Catsimatidis on Cats and Cosby. And listen to what he had to say about Carl Hastie.
This was in the context of the shoplifting scourge. And Governor Hochul had suggested or proposed a crackdown. And this was his refusal to do anything about it, saying that even when you talk about penalizing, you are always talking about after it happens. Well, that's true. It happened. So as I write in the column, it's as though he's sort of searching for some social program that will convince somebody not to commit the crime in the first place. And that's all well and good in theory, but crimes are being committed.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of a moron is this guy? And here's a little more with Michael Goodwin talking to me and John Catsimatidis.
Hastie is a captive of the far left, and that he's afraid of them, frankly. All the more reason then why he should go for it. You cannot live like that. The city can't live like this. If we are being stuck in this way because he's afraid to name those people,
he shouldn't be the leader.
Them on, what kind of leader is that?
You need leaders with courage.
Absolutely correct. You need leaders with courage. And that was John and Rudy Washington. We were talking earlier. Rudy was the deputy mayor under Rudy Giuliani. And guess what? That's what they did under Rudy Giuliani. They locked people up. They let them know that if you did something, you'd get busted and you would pay a dear price. And guess what happened? Crime went down. There's already a template for people like Carl Hasty and others to look at. But I agree with Michael Goodwin that this guy is clearly captive. There's probably, and there are reports, that maybe there's like 5-6 progressives that are there in the New York State legislature that are saying to him, no, you're going to stick with what you're saying because otherwise we're going to primary you or kick you out. That is really scary that what some fringe elements that think defund the police and all this other hogwash, that they're running the show in New York and basically blackmailing almost, if you will, some of these other people. That's a frightening place to be. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Dave and Comac. Dave, your thoughts.
I think that you should let the people that live on Long Island vote in the New York City mayoral election if their commute is, because the governor, the mayor, otherwise known as Erroneous Adams, right, his stupid policies letting the migrants in and the crime and the MTA crime and everything else, we should have a say in who gets voted out or who gets voted in. And Hopeless Hochul, she should be voted out of office. And by the way, you mentioned store employees getting attacked, and I don't know if you know this, but on, I believe it was March 27th in Comac Walmart, there were three individuals that assaulted a store employee.
Wow. And you know, a lot of these store employees are like just trying to stop. Were they trying to stop a shoplifter, or how did
it? Said, what I was told is it wasn't shoplifting. They were mishandling merchandise in the bicycle aisle.
Like what, putting it in their car and driving off without paying it? Were they mishandling it that way?
I think that they may have caused damage to the merchandise. I don't know. This is basically what I'm told.
Yeah, but you know, it's interesting. Like a lot of these cases, and boy, I feel so sorry.
The police are looking for them.
Yeah, good. Did they ever get them or no?
Well, nobody said anything, and they just put this thing on the TV the other day, but it really happened on March 27th at 6:30 p.m., according to the thing I saw on the internet. If anybody wants to find out or see what these people look like, you can Google it. You put in Walmart, Comac, New York, and you'll see what they look like.
Maybe you notice a neighbor or somebody, you know, I mean, who knows?
Nobody that I recognize, but one of them had a shirt on that says Emma Trapp and some kind of hat that looks like a Pink Floyd hat on top of it. I have no idea.
Well, I'll tell people to take a look either way. But you know what? You think about these employees, like here they are in a lot of cases. That's why I was curious, like if either like whether mishandled or robbed or, you know, a series of different things happen. But a lot of times these employees are trying to do the right thing for their bosses and saying, hey, wait, don't take that item. And then in some cases, like remember in some of the migrant cases, some of the guys in Times Square, that the nice ones, and I'm being facetious, Dave, that were beating up the cops, the poor NYPD cops in Times Square. Remember that video that went viral? A number of them before that were in a store and apparently punched somebody in a store. And another one that they apprehended punched somebody in a store too. Like when they were getting caught shoplifting, you know, taking $100 or $200 worth of stuff. So like here are these courageous people who work in stores trying to help and try to do the right thing. And look what happens. Lo and behold, they get sometimes beat up and sometimes they get killed, which is why it is so dangerous. And then that's a pretty basic thing to say, hey, we're going to protect our store people. We're going to protect store owners. And they don't even do that. I mean, this is basic. This is fundamental. And yet the people in the New York legislature can't even get it together now to do what is the most basic of all basic. That is shameful. And that to me speaks volumes. You know, it's interesting. A friend of mine had said earlier today that what he thinks should happen is, like, you know, these groups that show up, like they, well, the pro-Palestinian groups that show up everywhere, you know, when Biden's speaking and Code Pink shows up in different hearings and all these things. He was suggesting, I think it's an interesting idea, that people show up and they could be maybe members of the police, law enforcement, families, just everyday citizens, whoever it is, organize and have sort of a roving team of activists who attend every different kind of court hearing for major crimes. So when the person gets there and they're before a judge, so when a judge is thinking, oh, well, maybe I'll let Juan get off easy just because he has attempted murder in his background, let's feel sorry for him. And maybe then they have to listen and look at some of these protesters holding up placards and signs. And it might be a way to sort of shame some of these judges and some of these others to finally act and to be held accountable. And I'm not for, you know, anything beyond peaceful protest, but at least to be there and to have your voices heard. So these people feel like their decisions are under the microscope and they feel that their decisions will be held accountable. Because otherwise, they just kind of do it in the cloak of darkness. We find out about it later after the person's committed, in some cases, you know, 21, 25 crimes. So this way, you would be able to keep some of these people, these soft on crime prosecutors and others and judges who are undermining, you know, the civic order, if you will, in New York and in those and many cities across the country. Maybe each little city should have a group of people that say, we're going to show up. Who wants to show up today with signs and to say to this judge, put this person away, make sure they don't get locked up? That judge may think twice. How sad that we might have to do it. But that might be the case. Believe me, I think it's a noble mission. Do it peacefully, but do it obviously, do it loud, do it with signs. You show up in these public court hearings and you say to judge so-and-so, shame on you. Don't you even think about letting this person out for now the 22nd or 23rd crime. They might think twice about it if they see that suddenly the media is there or suddenly this group is out there and this group is going to put it on their social media if this judge lets them out or this prosecutor doesn't ask for the full limit or downgrades the crime. I think it's a brilliant idea, guys, and I think people need to galvanize and work on groups that kind of roam from place to place to place. Let's go to Michael, line two. Michael, your thoughts.
Hey, we did a couple of things. Number one, I have to thank you for keeping me on hold so that I could finish my delicious bagel, cream cheese, and hand-sliced smoked salmon.
Well, that sounds good. I'm glad we did. Now that you've had a good meal, what's your point?
And off the air, you can take my number so you and John can join me a couple of blocks away from your restaurant. You actually know me. But here's to the point.
Ah, okay, Michael, thank you. You're very sweet. Thank you.
Hey, have your call screen and give you my number. But here's the deal. I am so tired of this squatting stuff. Just tired of it. Hochul has to do something. I mean, I was walking up Madison Avenue, and there was this woman between two cars squatting. It's disgusting.
Ah, squatting, doing something, I assume, like number one or number two, right? Is what I get. You know what? The cases, it's a perfect example of how degraded the system is and that people are just, I can't think of a single day. I haven't seen that, thank goodness, Michael. But what I have, like, I don't think there's a single day that I don't smell marijuana. And I don't see somebody who looks like they're high as a kite just happen to be walking down. It doesn't matter what time of the day or night. But to your point, I do believe that quality of life has so degraded and values have so degraded. And people don't really care that they would do that there or on a subway or wherever. They just kind of they feel they can get away with it. And that's a sad place to be. So very quick, how do we fix it, Mike?
Well, better enforcement, but, you know, I don't want this woman hearing my voice to find out who I am and then sue me for defamation of character.
Michael, that's a good one. That is a good one. And by the way, now we know it's number two. 1-800-848-9222. Thanks, Michael.
It's the Rita Cosby Show. This is the Rita Cosby Show.
And in the next hour, we will continue to talk about the crime and migrant crisis in America. And also Donald Trump trying to bait Biden into a debate. Biden should debate, but we'll see what he will do. And also there's the RFK factor in the middle of all this. So there's a lot of big news tonight. But also in the middle of all this, as we're talking about these soft on crime policies, Andy McCarthy, former assistant U.S. attorney for the Southern District in New York, had this to say, because he says, you know what, voters basically in New York and in these blue cities only have themselves to blame.
I grew up in the Bronx, so it pains me to say this, but the reason they can't do things is because of politicians who the people who have voted for, who have put in these terrible policies on bail reform and sanctuary cities. I think part of the confusion here, if it is confusion, is that there's two different cases going on. Mm-hmm. When we say that New York is a sanctuary city, that doesn't mean the feds can't go in and enforce federal law. What it means is that New York state authorities and the city police can't, even though the cops would like to help them, they can't help them because New York since 2014 has had this legal status as a sanctuary city. But I take it that what happened here is that after the state released these guys under their ridiculous bail provisions, the feds have come in and started to make a federal case, which probably involves both immigration violations and drug and gun violations.
And they came in and said, time to get out of here. But his point is a good one, that people were voting saying, oh, let's try this social justice, criminal justice experiment. Well, guess what? It ain't working. Let's go to Steve, line one. Steve, your thoughts.
Yes, I wondered how many people in your listening audience have put together the fact that under Kathy Hochul and Mr. Hasey, but on the national scale too, during the epidemic, illness basically became a crime, and she's trying to push through a bill to put future epidemic people into quarantines, like prisons, like internment camps. But also, crime is now being treated as an illness. Mr. Hasty says it's a state of mind, and we have to be cautious and treat people. So illness has become a crime, and crime has become an illness.
You know what, Steve? That's an actually really interesting point, because you're right. Every time they seem to make excuses that, well, you know, it's a problem of their upbringing, or in the case of real mental illness, which a lot of them do have, but it doesn't justify them being out on the streets. And you're right. The world is sort of upside down. But I think some of these policies in terms of crime being an illness, I think they got exacerbated maybe during COVID and so forth. But I think they were already there brewing, don't you? I mean, clearly before.
Absolutely. But there's one more point related to this that's incredible. A book was written that was very famous in America called Looking Backward by the dystopian writer Edward Bellamy, and he is the one that made a hospital for incurable bores, but he also said that crime was an illness and illness would become a crime. This was over 125 years ago that book appeared in America, and there were Bellamy clubs blossoming all over the country.
Well, the only ones I want to talk about now are the Bellamy brothers, because the Bellamy clubs, if they were advocating for what he is talking for, it is a degradation of society. And how sad, like you just said, we've come sort of full circle. There it was 100 years ago. It's been brewing. And look, we are now seeing it with crime skyrocketing and so many of these problems and a migrant crisis and open border. And then we have still these soft on crime politicians that are in denial that continue, as you aptly say, make it an illness, not a crime. Boy, are we in trouble. We got to turn this around, guys.